The Bible reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And if you want to follow in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1092. Alternatively, you may wish to just gently close your eyes and listen to the word. It's the account of Matthias being chosen to replace Judas. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to be with you this morning. And we're going to be thinking this morning about being an apostle. An apostle is someone who is a witness and can say, "I was there and I saw what happened." Now, I don't know, do any of you remember, I'm showing my great age, there used to be a Welsh comedian called Max Boyce. Anyone remember? Oh, yes, rung a bell there, oh, yeah. Dawn said, very likely to remember him. And do you remember, his catchphrase was, "I was there, I was there." And sometimes being able to say, "I was there," is absolutely, "I was there," it's a bit more difficult, a bit more challenging. So let's just think for a moment about nice times when you can say, "I was there." Well, I thought this might be the perfect opportunity for me to get out my Liverpool scarf and tell you about all of the victories I've seen, but I thought perhaps maybe that's not the best example. Perhaps some of you wouldn't be quite as excited as me about having seen Liverpool win so often. So I thought I'd show you another example of when you can say, "I was there," and you were pleased about it. About 3 years ago, this envelope came through our door. And you can see we're so excited about it. We've kept it. And it says on the front, ER, and then Lord Chamberlain. And I thought, doesn't look like a bill, so it should be safe to open. And I opened it. And inside it says, you are invited to a garden party at Buckingham Palace. And it was pretty good, really. And I've got to admit, it wasn't a complete surprise. At the time, I was leading the head teachers union. My day job is to be a head teacher. So people who lead professional associations, all kinds of different groups, get invited to these garden parties. It sounds quite select. In fact, there's thousands and thousands of people at each garden party. But boy, Sian, my wife and I, we were excited to be able to go to this garden party. It was in May, so the weather was a bit like today. It was absolutely freezing, but it didn't matter at all. We could say, we could go, and we could tell our friends, I was there at Buckingham Palace. Do you know what? We were so excited. If you go to one of these garden parties, you can order, specially, your own commemorative DVD of the garden party you attended uniquely at Buckingham Palace. And we were really very unimportant part of the, about 7,000 people were there. And it goes on for about an hour. And if you play it very slowly at about 40 minutes in, for one momentary freeze frame, you can see Sian and I flitting across the screen, and then it just completely disappears. But all of our friends, all of our family, they have seen this DVD at great length. So we can say, I was there. Look, that's us. Yes, I know you blinked and missed it, but honestly, that was us. I was there. That was me. And there can, as I say, sometimes be slightly more difficult times when you've got to say, I was there. Being a head teacher, I'm afraid sometimes you've got to know quite a lot about the law. And quite recently, about 2-3 years ago, I had to go to court and act as a witness. And I was on the stand for about 2 or 3 hours giving evidence. And what they want to know as you're being examined and cross-examined is what actually happened. And it's no good saying, well, I think I remember, or someone else told me, because if you do that, you'll be absolutely shot down in flames. All you can do is say, I was there, and I know exactly what happened. Why? Because I saw it, and I was part of what took place. And that is the situation that we have in our reading this morning. Peter, after Judas was no longer part of the disciples, he wanted someone who was of Jesus' resurrection. And it wasn't any good bringing on board someone who could say, well, I think that Jesus has risen, or Peter told me about it, or I've heard this rumor. Just like when I was in court giving evidence, if they said that, they'd just be shot down in flames. They chose someone, Matthias, who could say, I know Jesus is alive because I was there and I have met him. So I can say from my own personal experience that he is alive and that he is risen. And you might be thinking, okay, well, that was then, all those years ago. What's that got to do with us here in the 21st century in St. Mary's? Well, we've already seen one important example this morning of why being a witness and being able to say, I was there, matters. All those who are here as godparents and parents and part of Susanna's christening party, you've come today so that you can be witnesses. You can be witnesses at the start of Susanna's spiritual journey. And future, you can say to her, look, I was there and I was promised that I would help you to get to know Jesus better as you grow up. And all of us are promised to play our part in this as well, because we were here. We saw Susanna's christening, so we have got a part to play. But also, being an apostle has something to say, something to speak to us today. what Peter says in that passage about being a witness with us of the resurrection is still just as important in Lutterworth in the 21st century as it was then. Starting point for being a witness is not intellectual knowledge or something you've read in a book or something that you've heard from someone else. Matthias, as we've heard, was a good witness because he had met Jesus. And so he could confirm that everything that was being said about him was true. I know that Jesus has risen from the dead because I saw it with my own two eyes. In the 21st century, are going to effectively tell others, then we need first of all to have met Jesus ourselves, to have asked him to be our friend and our savior, to be able to say, I know him and he has changed my life. I was thinking about my own experience of what made me want to become a Christian. And I was very fortunate. I was, like Suzanne, I was brought up in a very supportive home, a home that told me a lot about the Christian faith. And I had a lot of head knowledge about it. But I've got to be honest, that in itself didn't, it's something I got used to. So that wasn't what persuaded me to become a Christian. And it wasn't a clever argument that someone put to me. As I've already said, I come from Liverpool and we're very good at arguing. We do it all the time. It's in our DNA. And I think I would have just enjoyed the argument. No, what it was that spoke to me, that made me want to become a Christian, was spending time with others in our church youth group. And it was their witness. It wasn't, to be honest, anything that they said to me. It was seeing their lives. It was spending time being with them. And I thought after a bit, I thought, they've got something. They've got in their lives I haven't experienced. And you know what? I need that. There is something missing. Their witness of knowing the Lord Jesus spoke to me in a way that clever arguments never would have. So many of us here today are witnesses, just in the same way that Matthias was chosen to be. We have met the risen Jesus. We've asked him to be our special friend. We've asked him into our lives. And we've seen how the power of his Holy Spirit, how the power of his resurrection has changed our lives. And like Matthias in that passage, God says to us, that's brilliant. And now, do you know what? I want you to go out and share what you've experienced of the living Lord Jesus, of the person you've met. I want you to share that with those around you. Now, it might be through argument and persuasion, but it may also be through living for Jesus wherever he has placed us and letting him show through us in the way that we live our lives. In Victorian times, there was a very famous missionary called David Livingstone who went to Africa. And he lost complete contact with everyone, and communication's not great in Victorian times. So people were very worried that he died in Africa. So they sent an expedition out to find him, led by a guy called Stanley. And it was a famous phrase when he found Livingstone, and he said, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. But after he found him and he came back to England, this expedition leader, Stanley, said, if I had stayed with Livingstone any longer, I would have been compelled to become a Christian. And he never even spoke to me about it at all. Because the witness of Livingstone's faith and life was so strong, it was almost irresistible. Really powerful to notice in our passage how many people gather together to appoint this new witness, this person who was going to go out and take the message. It's probably, if anything, slightly fewer than we've got here this morning. It was about 120 people, 120 ordinary men and women who'd probably never been outside Palestine, and yet they went on to turn the world upside down by their faithful witness to the Lord Jesus, by telling others what they had seen, and by showing something of the risen Lord Jesus in their lives so that others wanted the completeness that they had found. So if you're sitting here this morning and thinking, how can I be a witness for the Lord Jesus? I'm the only one in my family. I'm the only one in the place where I work or the place where God has put me. Don't worry about it. He started with 120, and the world was completely changed as a result of those 120. God wants to use us, even if we're only one, through the power of his Holy Spirit. And that takes us to one final thought. There is, of course, a distinct St. Mary's Lutterworth angle on this passage, because one of our famous former ministers is John Wycliffe, just one of the very early translations of the Bible. And when he came to look at this passage, and he looked at the references to the Holy Spirit, and where it says slightly earlier in Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, he translated the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. You might be thinking, Comforter? What does that mean? It had a distinct meaning, and it came from the Latin word fortis, meaning brave or courageous. The Holy Spirit, Wycliffe, our former minister, reminds us from centuries ago, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the one who fills us with fortis, the bravery, the courage and strength that we need to go out and be a witness and to tell others. I couldn't do it. I don't know what to say. And God says, Peter, that's brilliant, because I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the words to say through my Holy Spirit. Don't depend upon you. Depend upon the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will give us the words to say as we are God's witness. Just as we draw to a close, I remember when we went to this garden party and we talked to our friends and we showed them the DVD and the invitation, you can imagine what the most common question was. They said, did you get to meet the Queen? And we had to say, no. Oh gosh, I was way, way, way back. We had to say, no, but we did see her in the distance and she seemed very nice. But as followers of the Lord Jesus, we can say, never mind the Queen, we can say, we have met the King, King Jesus. And not at a distance, but as our friend, as someone who is risen and who loves us. And he sends us out to share that experience of knowing King Jesus with a world that desperately needs to meet him. Amen.